There's rarely a dull moment in Arizona government. The Arizona Senate has approved a ban on texting while driving, now faces an uphill battle in the House. Meanwhile, Chief Justice Scott Bales, the Arizona Supreme Court's only justice appointed by a Democrat, will retire on July 31st. Among those stories and more to discuss with us, Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, good morning.
Good morning. There's always more here at the Capitol.
So you have your phone is down technically, right? I mean, I know you're talking on a phone, but you're not driving right now, right?
No, not driving, although if you want to spend a whole segment talking about traffic, I'll be happy to participate.
Okay, that'll be later this week. So let's talk about texting while driving. What is making some progress occurring? Because we've seen in the past that this was really hitting obstacles. No progress at the legislature. What's going on now?
Well, some of it comes down to if you keep beating your head against the wall, at some point you start making a dent. I mean, I was covering these bills back in the 1990s, and people said, oh, it's nanny state, and we don't need to do that, and there's no reason. What's happened is we've seen more and more people show up with pictures of their loved ones who have been killed or maimed by people who are texting and driving. And then, of course, earlier this year, we had a police officer on the Salt River Reservation who was struck and killed by a motorist who acknowledged, well, yeah, you're right. I was busy tapping out a message on my phone. There were also instances we saw in the last year where somebody was watching a YouTube video, which also would become illegal under this law. I think there are enough instances where folks say, look, we understand. Theoretically speaking, a police officer can pull you over if you're weaving and you're distracted. But this is so hazardous per se, all by itself, that we think we actually need to do something about it.
Howie, this got pretty bipartisan support in the Senate. Given that the House has a closer partisan split, how do its prospects look in that chamber?
Well, historically, the problem has been in the House. Of course, some of what's happened is some of the House members who blocked it, like Eddie Farnsworth, are now in the Senate and, of course, voted against it when it did get out of the Senate on a 20-10 margin. We have a bunch of freshmen who we don't know how they feel on this issue. They've never had to weigh in. There is a general reticence to additional regulation overall. But the question of whether public safety trumps, I mean, this is in some ways a variant on the fight over immunization. You know, when does general public safety trump individual rights? And that is always an argument here at the Capitol.
Howie, one other thing about banging one's head against a wall. Is there going to be progress made on this potential lieutenant governor situation? We've seen that many times before as well.
Well, the last two times it came out, there were problems with it. One just created an additional position in government, and obviously that wasn't going to fly. I mean, just what we need is another bureaucrat who has to have, you know, staffing and everything else. Another one set up this very bizarre system of nomination of, you know, first and second in there, and then they were sort of forced together as a ticket. This one is much more modeled after the presidential system, where you run as a ticket. You get somebody who's nominated for governor, and then he or she chooses a running mate who would obviously be of the same party, who would obviously then be part of the administration. And that person also would have an additional job as head of the State Department of Administration, which is kind of a catch-all agency. So you wouldn't be creating a new position. Does the public want it? You know, I don't know how many people who have moved here from other states realize that the Secretary of State is next in line for governor and how often that's happened and how often, in fact, we've had true regime change going from Democrat to Republican and Republican to Democrat. There's a certain attractiveness to continuity, but, you know, voters, again, don't like the idea of, you know, of just changing something for the sake of it. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Howie, let's talk about Governor Ducey getting another appointment to the state Supreme Court. Chief Justice Scott Bales has announced he'll be retiring this summer. How significant is it, if at all, that the one justice appointed by a Democrat to the bench will be leaving?
Well, the yes and no of that is that sometimes Democrats can be seen to have a different philosophy. But in all the time I've covered the court, and this goes back to the early 80s, it's been fairly bipartisan. You get a lot of unanimous opinions. And when you get dissents, it sometimes winds up in some unusual alliances of people. You might find, let's say, a Clint Bowlick, who was head of the Goldwater Institute, aligning himself with a Scott Bales, who was considered, you know, toward the left in the court. a lot of it comes down to the situation. You know, what are the issues out there? You're probably going to see the court tilt a little more conservative. You know, we have a governor who believes in sort of the quote unquote rule of law, and you know, whether it's original intent or textualism or whatever term you want to put on it, and not overly interpreting what the Constitution should mean, but following the letter of the law. But in fact, we haven't had a lot of partisanship over the years, and that's in some ways a credit to the current merit selection system, where you actually have panels screening out and creating a nominating list the governor has to choose from. And these tend to be, as a whole, the best and the brightest.
Well, Howie, we certainly refer to you as the best and the brightest. Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services, thanks as always.
I appreciate the compliment.